Again, good morning to everyone. And as was read, the lesson this morning will be taken from Ephesians chapter 3. And there are several things I hope to be able to help us to see and learn in these passages so that we can continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And if you have any questions in regards to the lesson, feel free to write that question down and get with me afterwards. Love to talk about these things because they are important, and it'll also help me to grow too. So I look forward to those kinds of things. And so as we look at chapter 3, there are several things that is pointed out in this chapter that we're going to talk about this morning. Now, first of all, as we've read, that has been read, you see Paul is identifying himself as a prisoner. Remember, he has been imprisoned and for the sake of the gospel, and he writes with words of encouragement that no matter what one goes through, continue to trust God, and he's reaching out to brethren and encouraging them. And he also describes really his audience here. And when he points out about for the sake of you Gentiles, and that would be the nations. And that would be those who are not Jews or of the nation of Israel, but those who are of various backgrounds. And as been mentioned before, Ephesus, remember, was a port city. And this port city, you could probably relate it to like a city like New York, when you got various people coming from all over the world to that particular city. And that's the way Ephesus was. And so you could see the contents of the letter to encourage, as we see in chapter 4, about unity and helping them to become one in Christ Jesus. And that's what you see here in the book of Ephesians here. Then you also see that Paul mentions about the letter, the message. And he says, this message is not his, it comes from God. And he's conveying that to them. But he also points out that it is a message that is understandable. We all can understand it, but we just have to read it. And when we read, we can understand, as he says, my insight, or in reference to the mystery of Christ. Now, some may have difficulty reading depending on the translation that they're using. I know if you use the, and this is no slight on the King James Version at all, but it's written with a style that you have to kind of work a little bit to get to some of the meanings because of the expressions that are used. We don't use them in our conversations. For example, we don't go around and say, thou dost not know, or dost thou not know? We don't do that. We say, don't you know? And that's what I mean by that. And so you have to work a little bit. And for those who are not accustomed to reading those kinds of things, the suggestion is to read sort of like a New King James Version, or as some with the New American Standard, something in reference to how we communicate makes it easier to understand. But the point is that you read the message that Paul conveys, it is understandable. God made it so, because he wants all of us to come to know him as the true and living God and become a child of his. And remember, this message was revealed to the, as Paul points out, to the apostles and prophets. And again, they wrote these things down. So we all have access to the information. Before it was written, remember, God was revealing these things through the apostles and prophets, and they went about preaching. And remember, the miracles were to get their attention. And we do this today when we try to get people to come to certain events. We put up these colorful posters, don't we? Trying to get people's attention so that they would read it and say, hey, I want to go to that. You know, we word it in such a way to really draw their attention. Well, Paul is saying and pointing this out, this is what happens with the apostles. They perform miracles, and it would get the people's attention. When it was performed, whoa, what was that? And then they would listen to the words being taught. Wow, and that's what was going on. And so this message is understandable, and it was revealed to the apostles and prophets. And now that it's written, we have access, and we can come to it. And the specific thing about the message is what's expressed there in particular, verse 6. That's where the text is going to come from, because notice the specific context of the message is, as he says, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And hence my title this morning of the lesson. The title is Three Fellows of the Gospel. Kind of sounds like an a cappella group, doesn't it? There. But Three Fellows of the Gospel. And it's interesting that this is right there. And why is that there? To help us to see how great and how marvelous the gospel is. As we define the term gospel, good news. And the good news is about these three fellows that are of or in the gospel. And so, therefore, you should pay closer attention to it and apply it in your life. Obey what it says. Because that term fellow is indicating several things. It's indicating the idea of a sharer of something. The sharer of by lot. You have a share of this particular thing. And that's the concept of fellow. And one who participates in the same lot. They are participants of this. So you're not an outsider. You're now on the inside, and you're a participant. And that's what the gospel does. It makes us a participant of something. And then you have the word joint. We have a share in this. We use the term joint. Many of you are familiar with some of the building terms. Notice when you put things together to uphold a structure, well, you have these joints. And you match those joints, and they're all working together. They're participant in holding up the house. And that's why you have the frame. And so that's that term, that concept of joint here. Also, when it comes to the body, the different joints. And I know some of us, like me, at times, when I stand up, you hear this popping sound like somebody's popping popcorn. Well, that's the joints. Everything loosening up, you know. And it's a participant of helping the body stay together. And so you have, and also this idea of common, this common relationship, this connection together. That's that term fellow. It has all of that in here. And you clearly see this in verse 6 with this concept. Because of the gospel, because of what God has done, we are able to become children of God. In John chapter 1 in particular, we are told that we are fellow heirs, or not in John 1, but we are told here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, that we are fellow heirs. So what does that mean? That means because of the gospel, we have to become children of God to be a sharer in this of this inheritance that God has provided. And so in order to do that, you got to become a part of the family. And that's what the gospel does. The gospel makes us a part of God's family. We are now participants, and we share in what God has provided to those who are faithful to him. And so in John chapter 1, that's what we're seeing in verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God. The will of God. God provided where we could become his children in the gospel, in Christ Jesus. By blood. You don't have to, it's not about blood, by that, you know, human blood. It's about the will of God. That if we do what God instructs us to do in the gospel, we can become his children. We have a right to become that. God provided this through Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's another passage along with that, and that's Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. It is there that the apostle writes to the Roman Christians, and here in this letter to the Roman Christians, you have an audience of both Jew and Gentile. And I want you to notice what he expresses in these passages. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, and in italics it has, and daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, God is our Father because of Christ Jesus, because of the gospel. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. We have evidence and confirmation that we are children of God when we obey the gospel. Isn't that great? Who are you a family of? Well, I'm of this family. Well, let me see some credentials. And we show those credentials. Well, with God, it's the Holy Spirit shows that. We identify with God. And he testifies to this. And he says, and if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. We have commonality. We have a relationship with Christ. Christ would be considered our elder brother because of this family relationship, because of the gospel. We're fellow heirs, so we have a right to what God has promised. He made it so. So it's okay. I have a right to that. Yeah, I do, because of what God did. Not in and of myself. No, God. That's how God arranged that. In a, when someone dies and their will goes to the heirs, those who are in his family, I can't just walk up and say, hey, I have a right to that. No, I don't. The people that have a right are the ones that are listed. They have a right to that. And whatever the stipulation of the will is, this is what God has done with us. God has made it to where we have a right to those things because of what he set up through Christ Jesus our Lord. And he says, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him, we're heir of the glory that God provides. We're heirs of that. A great picture is there in Revelation chapter 1, where you see Jesus in the glorified state. We're going to be glorified. We're going to be like him. And that's the blessings of what God provides. Why? Because in the gospel, we're fellow heirs. We're going to be glorified. We're going to be glorified with new bodies that don't ache, that the joints don't pop, where there is no sickness, no dying, but life of praise to the one who made it so, God. That's what we have a right to. That's what was provided through Christ Jesus. That's what the gospel entails. It entails this right to the glory of God. And how blessed we are. Here's another passage along with that. And that's expressed there in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Notice what Paul says to Titus. As Titus has left Crete to set these things in order, to make it known to those folks. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. And that is when you and I are baptized into Christ, we are a new creation. We're made anew. We are now children, sons of God. And that's what he's referring to here. Whom he richly poured out upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The body that you and I are going to have is a body that lives forever and ever. It's hard for us to comprehend that. But that's the best we can do in explaining and expressing this. And what it does, it just starts to whet our appetite and wanting to experience that. I want to experience that. And it becomes a driving force in our lives. And the Holy Spirit did that through the apostle for this to be written so that we could see it and be motivated to serve him about this hope of eternal life. Here's another, James chapter 2 and verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, did God not choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, heirs of the rule of God, which he promised to those who love him? We're heirs. It doesn't matter if you're poor. God still loves you. God wants you a part. And if you're rich in faith, you have a right to that because of God. Heirs of the kingdom of God. That's that first fellow. Fellow heirs. He's telling us how glorious and wonderful that is. Here's another passage. Hebrews 12, verse 28. A kingdom which cannot be shaken. We're heirs to a rule that cannot be shaken. And you contrast that with the countries, the empires, and the kingdoms of this world. They come and they go, but not the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God was, the rule of Christ was established on the day of Pentecost, it is still here. God is still ruling. He's still reigning. All the other kingdoms from that time have come and gone. Even the mighty Roman Empire at the time of all of this has come and gone. So let us not even fret, even though we are tremendously blessed here in this country, if it comes and go. But our hope is in the kingdom and rule of God, which will or which cannot be shaken. That is a blessing. That's giving us confidence. We do the best we can for the good of this country and promoting truth. And living a right life, encouraging as many people as possible. But if it's destined for this country to go, understand we are fellow heirs of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's where our hope lies. That's where we encourage to turn to. How about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 20, chapter 3 and verse 7. Notice, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives, that is, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. The grace of life. The grace of life, the favor of life that God has given in the gospel. So we're heirs of that. So that first fellow is talking about fellow heirs to all the things that are mentioned in these passages. Let's talk about the second fellow. That second fellow. The second fellow is expressed here as fellow members. What does that mean? When you go back to Ephesians 4 and look at that, fellow members. What is being expressed in these passages is this joint participation of with one another, with fellow members of Christ. People coming from all different walks of life, backgrounds, experiences, but yet united in Christ, we jointly serve a great and awesome God, using our talents, using our abilities to His glory, working together. Let me say, you may be good at one thing, but you're not good at all things. Somebody else may be good at this, but because of Christ, put them together, what you got? Two individuals using their talents to reach and perhaps change the lives of people. Yeah, that's how it works. I have a weak spot here, but a brother over here, he has a strong spot. And what I do is, because we're fellow members, I ask that brother to help me in that weak spot of mine and his strength, and we work together and we become a force. One of the things we used to do, a brother, was he was young in the faith. I had a little bit more experience. And what we would do is we would go out together. And we'd be standing in line for some food. Then we'd start talking about God's word. And he would ask me, he would say, "Hey, Albert, why does the Bible require baptism?" And I'd start talking. And we have this conversation in line. Guess what was happening as we were talking? You start seeing people in the line go like this. You know that there was a commercial, E.F. Hutton? When he speaks, everybody listens. That's what was going on. And people were listening. And it was a conversation that we were having. And we did it on purpose so others could hear the conversation. And to properly erase thought. You know, as you go out sometime, have you ever noticed when you're sitting down and you give thanks for your food? Do you know there are people who are watching? And there are people that will come up later on and say, "You know, I don't see much of that these days. I'm glad to see that with you." Or when the kids are having a good time and laughing and talking and engaged. You know, I haven't seen families like that together. People are wanting these things. And here we're being taught to be that way. Of the gospel, by the gospel, and we're making an impact. We're giving examples and encouraging others to see God at work in our lives. They get to see that. And perhaps it might stir up. For example, the kids now, my kids are older, they're adults, and they're out of the house. And you with the young families, and I'm gonna tell you what, I kind of miss those days. I do. You might think, "Well, hey, wait a minute, Al. You mean?" Yes. Because I miss the family being together. Sometimes I get a little too quiet around the house. And I'm glad we have grandchildren now. They make the noise. Love it. There was a time in the congregation, we didn't have many young people. We're losing our young people. And then God blessed us with a few young families and started hearing the babies cry. I was preaching one time. I said, wait, be quiet, listen. And you hear the kids, oh, no. That was sweet music. Yes. You see, what God has blessed us with, sometimes we overlook those things. And here we're fellow members. And so now it's not as quiet around the house, nor is it quiet in the church because of young people being there. And it drives me to wanting to talk. I told the brethren at Mill Road, I'm going to give a lesson on the blessings of having a heart attack. And you might not think, well, hey, wait a minute, whoa. Yeah, there was a blessing in that. But I told the brethren, because some of the young people started giving some lessons to help, you know, help fill in. And they were giving some great lessons. And I just told them, I said, don't let me have to have another heart attack for you to preach or give lessons, please. You know. But there was a blessing because you had people stepping up. And they grew. And you could see the growth. And it helped me to grow. And help me to see the blessings of things like that. And so fellow members here, and we see these things, and we reach out and try to encourage people to follow the God that we serve. But notice he says in chapter 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Those are beautiful words, aren't they? They're very beautiful. That's why we're fellow members. Here. Oh, I didn't put that. There it is. And then notice another one here. I think I may have read the wrong passage. It should be chapter 2, verse 14 and 16. Let me pull that back, and we'll get back to that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he himself is our peace who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, bringing them one, and then by abolishing in the flesh the hostility which is the law composed of commandments expressed in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two one new person, in this way establishing peace. Fellow members there. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Notice the illustration of the body working together. All the joints, all the members are one body working together there. And there are times when in life, because of health reasons or some accidents that may happen, it's sort of like the imagery is, say I lost the use of my left arm, and there's a brother who has both of his arms, and could you help me out? I can take one side, and they can help me with the other side. See, that's that imagery. That's that picture. That's that body imagery that is being used to help us to see that we're fellow members helping each other out. And he points out whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one spirit, for the body is not one part, but many working together. You know, I really couldn't do much if I didn't have any feet or arms. There are some things I could do, but there are some things I'm limited, and I would need help. And that's how that works. And then this brings us to the next passage. That's the one I was talking about there in chapter 4, verse 15. We're to grow up in all aspects of him. Every joint supplying. what is needed for the body. And what a blessing that is, that we're partakers of this. Fellow members. It's as though there are some people that you can reach that I may not. There are some people that I may be able to reach that you may not. You reach those people, you teach them about God. I reach the people that I can reach and teach them about God. And what happens? If we're made to drink of the same spirit, what happens? Unity. We start working together because we're made to drink of the same spirit. We have the same spirit, the same attitude that we are expressed in Christ, showing the same love for one another. And that's how it happens. Now let's get to the third fellow. Third fellow. This third fellow is in reference to partakers of the promise. And that promise is access to God. That promise is this confidence that we can have confidence in. That promise is in Christ Jesus. That promise is eternal life with God. That's that third fellow. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Access to the Father. Chapter 3, verse 11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Without Christ, we didn't have access. But because of Christ, we have that. That's the promise. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise, notice, of life. Promise of life. See, the goodies are overflowing. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 9, talking about his heart was glad and my glory rejoices, my flesh also will dwell securely. But drop down to verse 11. You will make known to me the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. We'll have fullness of joy because we'll be in the presence of God. And we should have a taste of that right now. But we'll have the uninhibited fullness of joy after this life and being with him. And it says, in your right hand, there are pleasures forever. And that's what you're seeing from all of these things. These three fellows in the gospel should whet our appetites to serve God. And so I hope that when you look at verse 6, that you'll see these three fellows and be encouraged to remain faithful to God, so that you'll achieve the goal of being with him throughout eternity. It's all about glorifying him. It's all about helping others to share in these blessings, to help them to obtain that right, because God has made it so. And so, the lesson is yours. If you have not put Christ on, I want to encourage you to do so before it's everlasting too late. Because outside of Christ, this is where you are. You are in the arena of death. You're in the arena of condemnation. You're in the arena of destruction, or on that path. You're in the arena of sin. God does not want you to be there. And he provided Christ and all the blessings that are in Christ Jesus to get out of that arena and get into Christ, because in Christ are all the spiritual blessings, the forgiveness of sins. You can become a son or an heir, sonship. You have an inheritance. You are sealed. You are marked as being identified as a child of God. Your name is enrolled in heaven. God knows you. You are a new creation. Those old things that you did in that arena of condemnation, they can be forgiven and wiped out. And you can start anew. I remember brother made a good point a while back, and I think it was Staples that had the reset button. That's what God does for us in Christ. We can reset, but it's only done in Him. In fact, with God, the sins are washed away, remembered no more. And from that moment on, you can walk with Him. The things that I think about, or used to think about years ago before I obeyed the gospel, it's like a different person did that. That's how God makes it when you serve Him, as a different person. I'm a new person because of Him. There is salvation, deliverance from sin. You're being saved as you continue to walk. So how do you get into this arena where all of these blessings are in Christ Jesus? First of all, you put your faith in Christ, God's salvation system. And you put your faith in Him, repent of your sins, turn away from it, change your attitude about it, and turn to Him. And then confess Him as Lord with a commitment to follow. He is your ruler. He is your master. And then now you got to get rid of the sins. And you're baptized into Christ. That's where your sins are washed away. And when you're raised up out of the water, you're in the arena of all those spiritual blessings. And as you continue to walk faithfully, as you continue to walk faithfully, continue obeying Him, you'll remain and you'll grow, you'll thrive. And all those things that you did before, somebody else did those. But now I have this new lease in life because of Christ Jesus. So I want to encourage you to put Him on before it's too late. You're among friends. And so, my friend, if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, you come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that is indicated.